We're not all quite back here yet, so we'll wait till the other groups join us. Welcome back, everybody. All right. I think that is everyone back. So thank you. We are going to have some share back now so we can hear what was talked about in each of the groups. And I think just for ease of this, I know I had asked the room facilitators to please select somebody from your room. Do you want to type that in the chat, or would you just like me to call on the room facilitator to share, because I know who all of you are? Let's do that. I am going to start with Don Hickman, since he is the one I'm seeing here on my screen, to please share out.
Thanks, Don, and I'll try and be concise. Sally Finday from the Leech Lake Band observed that the FCC has realized that maps aren't always true in how they report true speed, which is part of why we kicked off with Diane Wells from the Office of Broadband. Just because it says you're fast on the map doesn't mean you are. She also noted that the FCC had recognized that tribal needs and sovereign authority is unique, and they have the opportunity to organize their own broadband districts now. Most of the other input, and I was fortunate to have Diane in our group, was from those of us who live in rural townships or cities around Region 5, and the recognition that even if we have CARES Act or ARPA funding, it's often hard to find what provider to work with. And in most cases, or many cases of those in my group, it was two or even three providers. And that makes it really, really complicated to figure it out. And again, the Office of Broadband Development can help you figure out who it is. Diane's kind of rule of thumb was whoever provides your electric may be a good place to start. And I'll stop there so that others have equal time to report back.
Thank you, Don. I will have Erica share out next.
All right, thanks. We had the pleasure of having Josh with us. So we had a lot of expert knowledge in our group, which was really helpful too. We talked a little bit about fiber versus wireless too and everything. And he says fiber, but there's research into more of the wireless stuff too. But I think the biggest takeaway is that people are waiting and interested in knowing more about what's coming down from grants and what can be available to municipalities so that they can get in touch with people locally, and keeping it local too, I think, was an important thing so that everyone locally can be involved in the process too. But I think just knowing more about the grant opportunities is something that people are really anticipating and looking forward to. So yeah, I think those are the main things I wanted to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Erica. Who's next here? Stacy, you are next on my screen.
So I will have, and I'll then is on your screen says Todd Coney, and I'm not sure what your name is, so I will have you speak.
Okay, my name is Chris. I should have probably introduced myself, Stacy. Sorry about that. I'm Chris Pelzer from Todd Coney. So we talked about a lot of the same things that you've already mentioned. excuse me. We talked about the maps that the state has on reports of broadband speeds, and very similar to what we've already heard, there's a feeling that those maps might not be so accurate. And there's a concern that maybe there might be a few people that have access to high-speed internet or broadband. There might be a few in the areas, and that might be speaking for everybody in the area, and that just really doesn't show a true picture of who has access to broadband in those specific areas. We also talked about, and just taking a quick look at my notes, for Todd County, we have a lot of providers. So that in itself provides, I think, a little bit of a challenge. We talked about the need for townships and cities and even at the county level to get things ready for when these grants become available, making sure that we have letters of support from the townships and the cities, resolutions if necessary. The county could provide statistics on where there is broadband available, those served, unserved, underserved areas. We could gather all of those statistics so we can really make a strong case when it comes time for applying for those grants. I guess another challenge that we have within Todd County and in other counties as well, excuse me, I think I have the same cough that Bill Coleman had. So one of the things we talked about is that area that was awarded by the RDOF auction that covers a large portion of central Todd County. And that's an area that it can't be served by the money or the grants that are available because it's already an area that's awarded. So I kind of feel like that's going to be a big challenge for Todd County. If that area doesn't actually get served by the provider that it's been awarded to. So it's kind of an unknown for us.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to see your face because I know you and I have exchanged emails. I never knew what you looked like before. So good to see you. Next up would be Cheryl.
Hi guys, I'm not gonna mention the things that have already been talked about, but in terms of groups and what groups could be, there were some ideas around more education about programs for individuals. It's like some that were talked about today and shared that we will share. Offer surveys to residents about potential municipal approaches for investments. So whether a municipal is considering levying, that groups can assist communities by doing some of that surveying. And more information was a third bullet, what groups can do about grants and funding opportunities, because sometimes those come and go without a real understanding as to who's eligible and who can access them. The legislators at every level, there was advice from our group from the federal level, support the infrastructure bill. Hear that loud and clear. State level, more programs for mid-income families, and more money, stable money, long-term, so that providers understand what is going to be available and they're not having to figure this out year after year after year at the whim. So stability of long-term investments at the state level was a discussion. And then locally, for all of you who are local elected officials, learn what other communities are doing, whether they're bonding or levying or how they're working through that. And take advantage of some of those Blandon programs in order to do that, because they are a wealth of resource around what other communities, at least across the state of Minnesota, are doing. So that is a role that as an elected official, you can take at your own level. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Cheryl. And finally, Paul.
Thanks, Don. A lot of things that we talked about have already been mentioned, so I'll try to be very brief. I just think the continuity we need to find with each other in partnering. We talked about how do we, assuming some of these dollars do come through, we know they have from the state, but maybe bigger dollars from the federal government, then how do we manage that money and how do we prioritize and make sure that we're having a seat at the table when we compare metro to outstate? So we need to be cohesive and together on that plan and work together. And then others have talked about this, but there's a really good example that Alex shared around a joint powers that he helped form with Bertha and Hewitt in Eagle Bend and some townships in Todd County. And just really the general idea of staying organized, having those letters of support and getting your local elected officials together and on the same page when you're working to try to work with providers and figure out different avenues to find coverage for the areas. So talked about some of those and some of the great information that was shared by our presenters earlier that was an eye-opening piece for a couple of our breakout room attendees that they didn't know about. So the recording and the PowerPoints and the things that we have that we'll share out please use those in this larger group and share it out with others that you know that weren't able to be here tonight as well.
Thank you, Paul. And now if we could please hear from Representative Crenshaw regarding his input on what he heard here today and what he knows.
There we go. There's the mute. Well, first of all, thank you, everyone. A lot of great feedback. So I'll share a couple of things. And part of my goal here is to help you be more successful in how you advocate for your areas in broadband. So first of all, let me start with this. A couple of things that do work, that work well, is continue to advocate, bring coalitions together and be creative. One of the things that's helpful to us in the legislature is when townships and counties or cities or other local units of government with cooperatives get creative on how they're gonna solve problems. Because that helps us try to find new ways to use the existing resources we have. One of the other things that I'll share, and I can tell you this from my experience of the many, many legislators that I've worked with, many, many communities I've been with, the legislators that I have worked with, and by and large, we support this. We know how important this is. We understand the urgency. We also know how important affordable housing is, mental health is, disability is, school budgets, telehealth, hospitals, local government aid, infrastructure, bonding, and I can keep going. So the challenge that we have is the constraints. So, you know, letting us know, and we'll try to find where we can the best ways to allocate things. But every year, every biennium, the list continues to grow. And in rural Minnesota, especially, access to housing and healthcare continues to grow at an exponential rate. And so there's just a lot of things there that we have to try to balance as we pull this together. And sitting on the Education Finance Committee, those school budgets are very important to the communities that I serve, as well as with John. So, know that we're trying and know that we're trying to put things together. The other thing that I would say, and Diana Wells and the Office of Broadband before Diana, I've only had great experiences with the Office of Broadband. They're really trying hard to get the resources out, to get to the communities, and working with providers that, I know that a lot of times it's easy to blame the providers, but one of the things I would caution on is understand the providers. Understand what their constraints are as well. They're investing their dollars, their public and private companies, and they're trying to get broadband out. They're also competing in a grant format, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to serve areas. They don't always do what we want them to do, and they have a freedom of how they get there, but they also do provide this broadband. And when they come in, I work with broadband providers across the board. And when I talk to them and try to advocate for the areas, they're always very quick to find solutions and to find out what we can do. So if you need help with a provider, don't worry about contacting us, because I can usually get to a provider quicker and I can ask them all the way down to the address level, why is this house or when do you expect service here? The other side of this is there's a whole lot of federal dollars coming and there's a whole lot of federal dollars that have been allocated. Great. It sounds great. I'm actually really worried about that. I was just at a federal update yesterday. And what I'm worried about is it's in an auction format right now, and there seems to be a couple of layers of bureaucracy that haven't quite figured out how they're going to work with each other. And I'm a little bit worried right now how that money is going to be allocated out. I've seen some auctions and some awards go out to some companies that I'm not sure are going. This is what I heard. I heard a couple companies have won these at the federal level, and now they're going, well, we didn't really think we were going to win it, and now how are we going to serve it? So some of this is going to have to sort itself out. There's a lot of federal dollars are going to be coming on top of a lot of state dollars, and that's going to be chaotic for a bit. So I don't know what that's going to mean. And one of the things that I'll share with you, broadband providers, when we talk about the maps, that's their proprietary information, and they don't always want to share it with each other. And you can think of that for competitive reasons. So understand all of this stuff is happening behind the background, and if you're sitting at your home and you have to be on a Zoom meeting, or you have kids that have to do homework, none of those issues matter to you if you can't get to it. I understand that. So that's kind of the world that we're in. So there's a lot going on. So I guess in short, what I would just say to you is, you know, talk to your legislators, talk to your elected officials. I'm happy to connect with any provider. I'm happy to try to connect with the Office of Broadband to find out the why. And a lot of times the why isn't what we think it is. One of the things I hear all the times is, hey, I can't get service to my house. Then I go and I look it up and I find out, well, you can get service. It's just not the provider you want. Or I understand it may be more expensive than you think is reasonable. You know, so sometimes there's that too, and we have to balance all that out. It's a very urgent issue. There's a lot going on. Those of us in rural Minnesota, we find this as one of our top things, especially with COVID, when a lot of kids were, as Mark said from Little Falls, a lot of kids were finding new ways to do school from home that they hadn't experienced. The last thing that I'll say about this is, and I've been a huge rural broadband supporter, been a big advocate for this, but I just want to say to this group as well, be advised that there's a group out right now that we really have to look close at, and that is our socioeconomic lower status and families of minority status. They got absolutely decimated in this last COVID. They didn't have the same remote working home opportunities as many of our counterparts in our middle class and upper. So we have to just not only look at this from a rural broadband, but it is a socioeconomic situation. There are parts, and you know, as much as I advocate for rural, I also am very much aware there are parts in the Twin Cities where there are neighborhoods of minorities where kids are way behind, because while our kids were at school, many of our kids here were remotely at home, those kids were just absent. There's a lot around this issue and there's a lot going on, and we certainly want to work on it. But I know that's a lot. I don't want to overwhelm you, but I just want you to understand the spectrum of issues around just getting broadband, because it's not just a line in the budget.
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. I appreciate your comments. We have one last thing to share with you all with Bill Coleman, and it looks like we're a little bit early, so we might be able to have about 5 minutes at the end to be able to take some questions, but I'm going to turn it over to Bill if I can find him. There he is, and I'll share my screen again, Bill.
Good. Well, thank you so much, and this has been a great forum, so thank you so much. Bernadine likes to quote Jerry Garcia from The Grateful Dead, and it says, it's sad there's so much to accomplish, and it's pathetic that we're the ones who have to do the work. And I mangled that a little bit, but the solutions are really hyper-local now because of the map that we have, because of the programs that are out there. It really takes local leadership to gather the information from providers, gather it from your own community members so that you have a strong local map. I've always said that I could find any 10 people in rural Minnesota in any county, we could create a better map than what the providers give us with broadband, just because people live here and know who has broadband and who doesn't. This Accelerate program is something that we've designed at Blandon Foundation to help communities really get organized, build their team, get the information, have those strong discussions locally about what they're willing to do as local leaders, as local governments, whether that's a township or a group of townships or county, and then to work with providers to help them understand the market opportunity, understand what the local units are ready to do in terms of recruiting customers, sharing infrastructure that the community might have, and so on. So the 16-week process is really a dynamic one, and we're really excited with the four communities that went through this program in the springtime. So we're hoping to attract some other communities. What a community is a definitional. I don't think we'd want to do a single township, but we might do school district or a group that has enough scale to really make some things happen. And so I had put the web address, broadband.blandinfoundation.org, in the chat earlier and encourage you to take a look at that program. We hope to start this program the first week in November. A team of at least 8 people willing to work a couple hours. It's just like Cub Scout volunteers. Oh, it's an hour a week. Well, we say it's 2 hours a week, but that's with us. And then the real work happens in community in between times. But it's a solid process, well organized, well supported, and your community will be a lot better off to try and pursue its broadband goals through this program. So let us know how we can help. So with that, I'm I think opening up for questions and so on would be great.
And can everyone see my screen right now too? I'm just sharing the broadband conference that is coming up in October there. And I believe registration is open. So get registered to be a part of that conversation on a statewide level as well. And just for attendees to know, I will be participating in a meeting next week, I believe it is, with the Blandin Foundation and all of the other regions who held one of these events. And so we'll be sharing sharing outcomes, I believe, from that, from our meetings as well. So I'm going to stop sharing here.
And Dawn, we'll have people on the agenda that will be responding to the regional issues.
Oh, excellent.
That will give advice based on what the different regions have said. And excellent. Then hopefully we can mobilize action based on that. And then finally, that the broadband conference, there's no registration fee for that. And so it's online, 12th, 13th, and 14th, from 9 until noon, those 3 days.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. That's helpful. I am going to open up the floor for any questions. I did just remove the unmute, so you can unmute yourself and ask a question if you would like.
Dawn, I'm going to ask Diane to repeat her answer to a question that came up in both chat and my small group. In a rural area, if your provider says it's not cost effective to rate you, what is one's options? How can one turn for help to get a provider the resources to serve really low density areas?
Yeah, and what I would say is we're seeing a little bit of a pivot now, and I think Josh can maybe agree or disagree, but with all of this federal funding coming, it's caught a lot of providers' attention and they're more willing to take that government funding. We also don't have a lot of strings attached to the program when we run it through our border-to-border program. You don't have to be an eligible telecommunications carrier. So if you can demonstrate, you know, if you've got a neighborhood and you get people to sign a petition, and so the provider knows there's grant funding that can pay for up to half of their costs to get into the area. And if they build it, you know, 80 to 90% of the people are going to subscribe, then they've got that monthly revenue coming in. That's, you know, a way to show a provider. And normally we start with the historic phone or cable company because they have the closest facilities, but we're seeing more and more interest in other providers to come into an area, either because they're edging out or they know of another area close by. So if they bring plant in, they can pick up both of those areas. We're just seeing a lot more interest. So it like Representative Austin said, it's time to be that squeaky wheel and get organized. So it's not just, you know, I need it at my home, but it's like, I've got this whole neighborhood, you know, of so many square miles of 100 families that need this service. And we'll help, you know, we can help try to find someone if you're not having luck, or your township might know of other areas in the township, or your county officials. So those are good grassroots ways to start too.
Diane, I'd like to follow up with that, if I could. I think Representative Kresha talked about know the barriers that your providers face. And I think those vary by provider type. And so the publicly traded companies have a much higher need for faster return on their infrastructure investment. Wall Street judges some of those companies pretty harshly when they jump out and say, we're going to make investments that Wall Street doesn't think is smart. But if you go to Josh and his cooperative, they say, hey, well, if we can pay our bills and make our money back over 12 years, you know, we can do a deal here. And so if you think about the partners you want to have in your community, are they locally based, locally responsive, going to be an economic development partner? It's more than just the infrastructure and service. It's what's their role here in the community. And of course, a co-op, when you pay your bill, if the co-op does well, you get a little spiff back at the end of the year that you're an owner of that. So if local governments are granting or loaning money to cooperatives, you're loaning it to yourself. And so that's why I'm such a firm advocate for trying to partner with cooperatives when they're able. They're not very large organizations sometimes, so they have scale issues sometimes, but certainly the easiest to do business with.
Yeah, if I could just add to that, it really is about making a business case and working with your, whether it's townships or your city or your county, organize and get a group together, because you need to go to the provider and you need to get on their radar and it has to make sense for them. I've seen townships that, they've done matching dollars and they've levied some of their residents to get those with paybacks. You have to really get a group and you have to make a little bit of noise on that and then get the provider behind you. One of the other things to think about in the constraints is, remember, there's a worker shortage going on with our broadband providers as well. And they're having a hard time getting enough workers to lay fiber and all these. And then, of course, in Minnesota, we're about 6 weeks away from frost. So, I mean, there's just all of this stuff. So use the winter to get really, really organized. Don't sit around and wait till March, because the projects have already started. You should be right now organizing and getting to these providers over the winter so you can make it to next year's spring or the following year. But you've got to get a coalition. You've got to make a case and you've got to show them why it makes sense for them to come in and start trenching in your neighborhood.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We are moments away from the end of our time, so I would entertain one more question.
Don, if I could, I'll just lift up what is in the chat box from Mary about the meeting evaluation. Really invite people to click on that and give us your feedback. It's about the now what, so what piece, and we're going to be gathering as across the state and rolling up what we've heard from the 8 regional meetings that have happened into a larger statewide conversation about what we can do to get better access and adoption. So please do take a minute and click on that SurveyMonkey and give us that feedback so we can roll that in with what other regions are doing and saying. And thanks everybody for being here tonight.
Thanks for reminding me about that, Bernadine. You will all be getting an email tomorrow from Eventbrite, being that's how you signed up, with a link to the survey as well in case you missed it in the chat box here tonight. So thank you all so much for joining us here. This was a great event. I think we learned a lot and we're able to connect with each other, which is always important. So
Don, thank you for your leadership on this.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I had a great team to work with for sure. Paul and Don and Cheryl and Stacey and Erica and everyone else. So yes, thank you to all of our panelists and presenters. We very much appreciate your time. And please stay tuned for more links on the website.
If I may, I have a closing remark, please.
Yep. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah. Some of you may know I'm in the final 2 or 3 months of my 2-year as chairman of the board of for Region 5 Board of Directors and commissioners. It's an opportunity. I would like to just knock some kudos out here for this subject, which has been going on for years, particularly for Blandon, for doing what you do with our communities and how successful you've been. And it's a pleasure working with you in any of our organizations. I would like to also thank Sourcewell and the Initiative Foundation for your continued support on all the efforts that we do, and particularly your involvement and willing to sit down with Region 5 and discuss whatever the subject is at the point. And finally, I would just like to thank Cheryl and the staff for all their hard work, and particularly Don for doing all the hard work you did in getting this put together, and it's highly successful. Anytime we get 47 people for a Zoom meeting, we've hit a milestone. So I just want to thank all of you, and particularly also our legislators that took the time to be here to hear what's going on with this topic. And thank you so much for your participation. And with that, thank you very much for attending on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
Thank you, Alex. That was very kind of you. Thank you. All right, all have a great night, have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see you at the Statewide Broadband Conference. Take care.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.